This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. And right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline, we bring to you one of the newest Dallas Mavericks. It is indeed Najee Marshall. I'm off to a terrible start. Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing?
I would be doing better if I wouldn't have messed up that intro, but you know how it goes, right? All right. So I'm curious. We're just, the NBA season starts tonight. We're just about 48 hours away from the Mavericks starting. Every year when it's almost time for the season to start, are you like, finally? Are you nervous? Is it just excitement? Like, what goes through your mind for that?
I think a little bit of excitement. And like you said, just finally, it's been a long training camp. Just putting in a lot of work, getting accustomed to the guys. I feel like it's been a long 2 to 3 months, man. The season's finally around the corner, and I'm just ready to unleash the beast, man.
Najee, I do want to tell you, my co-host Kevin really is excited to have you, despite the mess up on your name. He's really like, he's one of those people
that's
very stoked.
I appreciate that.
when you got here, did you see like some of these guys? They're already on that same page, and they're already kind of like back in championship mode, trying to get back to that finals.
No, for sure. Everybody's been working hard. You know, I come back to the gym late night. The whole team is here, so it is amazing to see from the strength coaches to the medical staff. Everybody just locked in. Sorry, so just amazing to see and just get energy to feed off.
I'm gonna make this question long so that you can take a drink of water if you need to, Najee. Do you agree with the saying you can't go 82-0 without winning the first one? Because my co-host thought that the Stars didn't really need to work that hard to win the first game. They reeled off four straight to start the season. Do you agree that you can't go 82-0 without winning the first one?
No, for sure. I mean, that's really impossible. So I just think, man, it starts from day one. And that's even before the first game, training camp. If we want to, you know, accomplish the ultimate goal, I just feel like I have to be locked in from before when it starts. So by the time it does start, you already ready to go, man.
Okay,
yes,
I just want to clarify. Obviously,
about.
I hope you guys beat the Spurs and roll from there. But we had people on our airwaves, on our station, saying that if the Stars lost their season opener, they were done for, which is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's right. Nah. You win some, you lose some, man. That's come with sports, period, in life. But definitely, if we can, you know, put in enough effort to win the game because it's a game and not just because it's our first. That definitely, you know, like I said, good energy to feed off going into the rest of the season.
I love it.
So, Najee, when it comes to coming to a new team, the Dallas Mavericks, I was wondering on the Pelicans, did you have a teammate that you just really clicked with that's one of your best friends, and have you found that guy on the Mavs who you just love hanging out with off the court?
Definitely Jose B.I., Trey Murphy. I mean, all of us were kind of very close in different ways. But I vibe with everybody, man. The Morris twin, Markeith, he's one of my great friends. Kai, Q Grimes, you know, we came together. So a lot of this stuff, learning and getting new, we're trying to do that together right now. So we've been together for the most part. Jaden Hardy, D-Live, like, it's all good vibes, man. We all got a different kind of friendship, connection. So it's just a good thing to see. But most definitely, as time goes on, probably gain that friend. But Jose, man, he's still top dog. That's my guy right there.
Now, we appreciate all the positivity and the vibes. I don't know if you're like me at all. Sometimes outside of work or basketball, do you just kind of like being by yourself, too, and not necessarily being around a whole bunch of other people?
That's my MO, man. I love hanging by myself. 9 times out of 10, I'm by myself, so yeah, for sure. For the most part, unless I'm playing basketball or something or with my fam, I'm by myself.
Do you find that other people in your life find that hard to understand? Because my wife loves to be around people, and I'm like, either way. Do you think people have a hard time understanding that you just like alone time?
I think most definitely. Especially with me being away and stuff sometimes for so long, or people having to come visit me, not being accessible as I used to be. I think people want to get around me. They just want to be around me all the time. and understand, like, sometimes, you know, I was just around 20 dudes, man, all day. I just want to sit in the room and watch YouTube videos and just chill, you know, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm with you 1,000,000% on that.
What should we be watching, sure. Najee, on YouTube?
I watch all highlights of my opponents.
Ooh. Oh.
Over and over again.
Do you ever see, not that you, maybe you don't want to admit this, do you ever see some of those highlights and you're like, crap, I don't know what I'm supposed to do to defend that person?
Never.
Okay, never. Good.
What is the key then? Like, is it just like just being aggressive and that's going to be the win there, or are you going to find that thing against them?
Just doing the best you can, honestly. At the end of the day, you do the best you can, and you just got to leave it up to whatever happens, man. You know, every day is not perfect, but you just got to keep taking it day by day. I just go into it, no conscience, no thought, no nothing. Just do what I got to do.
Now, do you...
Especially the game got to end.
Do you go by... Like, if people say, hey, Knife, do you answer to that, or is that just a nickname that you do? Okay. All right. That toughness that we've heard about so far, when other people were looking, when you were on the outside of the Mavs looking in, did you look at them and go, yeah, they're not that tough of a team?
No, not really. I don't really look at the toughness of other people. That's definitely not what I thought. I just thought it was a great team. Mm-hmm. And I always thought of how I could, you know, help the Mavs or what they could do to help my game. And it's just crazy how I ended up on the same team, because I really used to think that. And I really wanted to play for the Mavs. So it's just crazy how God works.
Najee, have you been in practice yet where, I'm sure you've seen plenty of highlights of Luka, where he finds the guy in the corner and it just seems impossible that he saw him or got the pass to the corner? Have you been in practice with him where he has found you in the corner and you have no clue how the ball got to you?
Every day. Yes, sir. Every single day.
Is he the best at finding the corner guy?
I mean, he's just one of the best passers on the pick and roll, honestly. He just finds whoever's open. If the corner's not open, he's going to find you. So
now,
you've got to be ready to shoot.
As we learn more about you, the player and the person, because like I said, everyone here in Dallas is excited that you're here. We were doing some research, and can you tell us anything about your dad's boxing background, and did you ever think about, maybe I should go into that?
My dad definitely was a professional boxer. He stopped early. He was 3-1. I think he stopped early just to be there for his kids more. You know, I had 5 brothers, 1 sister. But we definitely grew up boxing, training. From when I grew up, 4 to 13, I never really fought nobody, but definitely almost pursued that career. I'm glad I did it, though.
Did being around him give you a different type of edge? Because you were like, fighting is something that I know how to do. Or is that just like, did you not fight much?
I just was born with that edge, to be honest. I don't think no one person really gave it to me. This is just who I am, honestly. I think if he wasn't my dad and I didn't know how to fight, I still, you know, kind of have that edge and, you know, just a chip on my shoulder. But, yeah, I think I was just born with this, to be honest.
How much of a luxury is it for an NBA team to have a Gafford and a Derek Lively on the same roster?
Oh, it seems like a video game, to be honest. Like, defense, offensively, it's just, like, amazing, to be honest. So convenient. And, man, I just love it. I just look forward to playing with them guys, man, honestly.
How difficult is it, or maybe how easy is it, to improve as the season goes along? Because I know not a lot of time sometimes for practices in between days off and everything like that. So how much do you think this team, or maybe just you on this team, can get better as the season goes along?
Definitely get a lot better. You know, like you said, as season goes along, we can't practice as much, but we can watch more film and really break down the game even more and understand it. So the less practice, I guess, the more film, and just getting to understand, like, a connection with the players. And the best way to get better is just natural born reps. So just going through the game and stuff like that.
One of the things that we talk about a lot, I know people are like, oh, who's starting the game, blah, blah, blah. We'd like to talk about who's on the court for the final 5 minutes. Is that ever something that players talk about? Or are you like, hey, did we win or did we lose? That's what I care about.
Definitely. You know, talk about the game in itself from all aspects. But definitely, I think the majority just wants to know if we won or lost there. Trying to get the W, that's all.
So, hey, growing up, I know I'm a lot older than you, Najee. Two of my favorite basketball players growing up a Mavs fan was Rolando Blackman and then Dell Ellis, who immediately went to the Sonics and kicked the Mavs' butt when I was a kid. Who were guys when you were a kid watching basketball that were kind of your heroes you loved watching play?
On the Mavericks?
No, it could just be in wherever. Obviously, you might not growing up a Mavericks fan, so.
Growing up, I love Allen Iverson. Russell Westbrook, KD, those are mainly the three who I really used to pay the most attention to growing up. But my favorite mag is Corey Brewer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
From Florida, yeah. Big game against the Lakers in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to play against, obviously Iverson was retired when you got to the NBA, but you can play against Russell Westbrook. You play against Kevin Durant. What is it like playing against guys that you idolized growing up?
I mean, it's amazing. Just to be able to share the same floor with them, just for them to be able to read scout and just see my name on it, just like unreal feeling. I feel like Quincy, who cried the other day when he met Steph Curry, my Xavier guy, but yeah, just amazing, bro. And it's a true blessing to be able to share the court with those guys and even get a W, man. Like, that's just to go through my head, like, I just beat KD in a game or he just beat Russell Westbrook team is just crazy to me, you know?
Man, we appreciate, well, I appreciate the fact that you're in Dallas. Mm. We appreciate the time very much. Best of luck, not only on Thursday, but obviously throughout the rest of the year.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
There you go. Man. Najee Marshall right here on 105.3 The Fan. Do you want to stick with basketball? Or do you want me to throw out a football note for you?
I mean, I can roll in 4 minutes of C-Block if you need me to real quick, or unless you wanted to roll that over to the next segment.
Okay, yeah.
Because I know we got Carter and in all the college football action coming up. So
for people that are curious, they gave us the next version of the senior Hall of Fame class, and it looks like the group is down to 31. And as I scan this list, Everson Walls and Harvey Martin remain on the senior Hall of Fame football list.
Might as well go ahead and mark them. Might as well go ahead and give that jacket to them, man. I make the busts now.
I would love that.
Yeah, we need to go ahead and do that.
Now, C-Block.
All right, we'll make this one pretty quick, Kevin. Derrick Henry last night, Carter, said he didn't do a celebration when he scored his touchdown. He just stood there in the end zone and looked around at the fans and then turned around and walked back to the sideline. And I was like, I said, that's because he's the GOAT. And then I went, all right, okay, hold on. He's not the GOAT, but he's more like King Henry.
Sure.
And then my father-in-law said he is a generational running back. And I wanted to bring that discussion to it real quick because in this generation, we haven't seen anything like him. And I never saw Jim Brown run, but he's the closest thing that I can think of. And my father-in-law was like, yes.
In terms of aggression and violence?
Just size and ability to make other men on the field look like little boys. And that's what Derrick Henry does sometimes. He'll be running and he'll just push you to the ground like you're nothing. And he said Jim Brown on a weekly basis would just run past people and run over people, or people didn't want to tackle him. They were just like, why would I try to waste my time? Because he's that good.
They run a little bit different, but didn't Adrian Peterson kind of put that type of physical run?
Yeah, that's interesting.
They were a different running back because you've seen Adrian Peterson and they run a little bit different. But I mean, he was a guy like, all right, you want to get in my way? Let's see if you really want to tackle me right now.
Yeah, and that's where I was like, have we given Derrick Henry that nod of he's a generational running back yet? Have we come to the, you know what? He is, and we need to recognize that because I don't think we have yet.
Look, I might be alone on this. I did when he repeated as the rushing champion, because that had only been done by 11 people ever, and every single one of them was in the Hall of Fame.
And then so, he got injured, and then everybody was like, okay, that's it. That should begin the downturn. But then since then, he's just been 1,500 yards, 1,100 yards, and the TDs are still there over and over.
I think running backs today are like pitchers today. And so the way that we saw, whether it's Barry Sanders, Walter Payton, Jim Brown, you can go to, I know, O.J. Simpson, but I think there was this running backs meant so much to the game in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. As you got to the 2000s, it started changing a little bit. Doesn't this sound like pitching in baseball?
Yeah.
And now we're to the point where running backs just aren't that important. I'm not saying Derrick Henry isn't great, but we think of, is Derrick Henry a for sure Hall of Famer today?
Personally, I think he is a for sure Hall of Famer.
But if we compare him to Emmitt, Barry,
right,
we start going, oh, he falls way short. It's not maybe fair.
He
is, because the game has changed so much.
He's at 10,375 yards. He can, how many more yards do you think he can get in his career?
3,000.
3,000 more?
Yeah, I was going to go all the way up to 4,000, but that would be staying really healthy.
That would put him in the well into the top 10.
Okay.
All-time rushing.
Kind of like Max Scherzer, 10th, and Justin Verlander challenging. They're both 10th, 11th, or 9th, 10th in strikeouts.
He's got 98 rushing touchdowns, and he can add to that, and he'll, one more, he'll be, actually, he's in the top 10 rushing touchdowns all time already.
And I mean, at the pace this year, I imagine he'll go up.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if he, let's say he's tied with Barry Sanders right now. If he gets 10 more rushing touchdowns, he'll be fifth all time. Sixth all time. With one more, he would tie Walter Payton for fifth all time.
Who has the most rushing touchdowns?
Oh, it would be Emmitt Smith, 164. And attaining Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson, 145, 164, that's a lot to ask of him. But he's right there in that conversation with the best all time, and we got to see it. That's what I'm kind of taking here, is my kid is watching it. He's getting to see it. We got to see it, too.
Has your kid watched Zeke?
Coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece.
It's the Tuesday tailgate, ladies and gentlemen. SMU continues to roll. Nebraska does not. And is this the biggest Notre Dame-Navy game since? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
The play fake from Jennings and a quick shot on the slant. And this is Mucci Dixon. And Mucci Dixon on the first snap of the game scores. 87 yards on the slant from Kevin Jennings.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Tuesday tailgate in just a second. But Diana Rossini throwing the word out there that not only would the Rams be open to trading Cooper Kupp, they're actively calling teams to trade Cooper Kupp, and they're willing to eat the salary this year, and they want a second round pick. Now, the issue for a lot of teams is going to be Cooper Kupp still has money over the next 2 years, but just keep an eye out on that, and we'll see if Cooper Kupp is on the move. Now, the Tuesday tailgate. Let's go ahead and start it off as we welcome back Carter Freeman with SMU that continues to be excellent on the opening drive of football games, and they are now up to 6-1 after beating the crap out of Stanford.
Yeah, ACC game, an Atlantic Coast Conference game between a team in Texas and a team in California.
So weird.
We're halfway through the season. I'm still kind of getting used to that. But
yes.
Yeah, SMU's rolling. They look really good. Unfortunately, they lost their star tight end, Russell Maryland. Not Russell, RJ Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah, not
I
Russell.
Love Russell Maryland.
Maybe they could bring him in. Maybe he still has eligibility, but RJ Maryland, awesome tight end for SMU. He's going to be out for the rest of the season.
What high school did he go to? Because Russell lives here, right?
I don't know.
He might be local.
Okay. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
That's a big loss for them, and they do have 6-1 Duke and undefeated Pitt as their next two teams. And that game against Pitt will be here in 2 weeks.
That's interesting because Pitt, maybe BYU, that might not be fair. And then I know for some people, Indiana. It's a group of undefeated teams that perhaps not yet everyone is taking seriously. Where do you fall on those three teams – And because I know Indiana just had an injury as well.
They did, yes. And it sounded like it was going to be bad to their quarterback, Curtis Rourke. But now it sounds like it might not be as bad. He'll probably miss this upcoming game against Washington. And then he'll be back after that where they go to Michigan. And I don't think Indiana's beaten Michigan probably in my lifetime. So,
wow.
And if Curtis Rourke plays in that game, I would totally believe that Indiana could beat them. Because, one, I believe in Indiana. I do think what Kurt Cignetti's done there in his first year.
He's incredible.
Google him. He wins. Watch his team. They win. I'm totally in on that. But also, Michigan just is an absolute husk of what they were last year.
Agreed.
I mean, they sold out to win the national title, and they got it. And, you know, now they're paying the price with how poor they've been this year. But if those three teams, Indiana, BYU, and SMU, I would probably rank them in that order. I think I'm higher on BYU than a lot of people. And now for SMU, that actually does not look like that bad of a loss like it did back in September.
Yeah,
they're undefeated, and I think they might be the best team in the Big 12.
Woo! All right. Now, you talked about who you believe in. Let's go to cut number 13, if we can. How much do you believe in this individual right here?
Ward on first down. Look at how relaxed he is. Sam Brown into the end zone.
Cam Ward, 319 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. Defense was optional in their 52-45 win over Louisville. How are we feeling about Cam Ward in terms of maybe Heisman, in terms of anything else, and then about Miami in general?
I think he should be the leading quarterback for Heisman, not the leading contender. I still think Ashton Gentry with Boise State is and should be the leading contender for the Heisman, but I got to see Cam Ward in person in week one when I went to Florida to watch Miami play in Gainesville, and he just was incredible. I mean, it's like Tessitore said there on the play, it's effortless. And that effortlessness has translated to the better teams they've played and obviously the poorer teams, but anybody he plays, he makes it look easy. And it's not. And his numbers, both passing and even running, are pretty much better than most other quarterbacks at the top, you know, like Dillon Gabriel at Oregon, you know, even Curtis Rourke at Indiana. Like, I've seen his name get some Heisman buzz lately. Ward, as far as quarterbacks go, is far and away the best in my mind.
I do remember in our first episode of this, I asked, is Miami the best team in Florida? And you said, let me see this game. You were heading to that game. They are the best team in Florida, bar none.
Not even close. I mean, Florida State is putrid, obviously. They lost last Friday night to Duke. They'd have to win out to make a bowl or to have a guarantee at a bowl game. At 5-7, there's a chance, but I don't want to get into that. And even the other, you know, smaller schools in Florida, UCF, USF, teams that you might have thought, oh, they could have a pop-up year, they haven't. Yeah. So, I mean, it is Miami way up top. Then actually Florida has looked a lot better since week one, and then everyone else below that.
And I pose this question to both of you. If Ashton Gianti is so good, why did he only have one touchdown rushing last week?
Because he saved the other one for receiving.
Yeah, he had seven in the last two games. So
he's amazing.
I think they could stack 11-man boxes and he would still have 6 yards
carry. How good would UT been if they would have given him $2 million to leave Boise State?
Oh my gosh.
To be at UT this year.
Well, he said at the beginning of the season he got plenty of offers to leave and he chose to stay.
Wow.
Like that was just his mantra, was he wanted to do it at Boise State, and so far they have. I mean, they took the number one team now in the country in Oregon to the brink in week two, and they have looked excellent ever since. And this Friday night, we get probably the best group of five game of the year, Boise State at UNLV. And UNLV's only loss is to Syracuse, who only has one loss. So that's going to be an epic matchup.
And you mentioned Oregon is back up to number one for the first time in 12 years. Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't realize it had been that long, but the pecking order of Oregon, Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, Texas as the top five. How do we feel? I know plenty of time for movement. How do y'all feel about that as the top five?
I would like to slide Miami up into that, but that other
group, Texas.
Yeah, that group of four that you just dropped out there is very impressive. So I think it's pretty good, considering two of those teams at least have beaten up on each other.
Yeah, Oregon has finally looked like the team we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. They had struggles like that Boise State game I just mentioned. They, you know, took them to the brink. They looked poor against like FCS Idaho, but I mean, you beat Ohio State at home. You then go on the road to a allegedly a tough environment in Purdue that, you know, has gotten teams like Ohio State in the past and shut them out. That was Oregon's first road shutout in over 30 years. And they just right now they look the part. Just as far as the other teams, I think Georgia deserves to be up there because they did beat the number one team on the road. You know, the coaches poll has Miami at number five, to Corey's point, and Texas at number six. So I think they're right there next to each other. The fact that Texas got shut out and switched quarterbacks, that I think is going to give people a lot of pause just with the overall way they play.
Yeah, the way and at home, you know, like all those things considered.
Do you think they got more, because I know a lot of people like to say exposed, or do you think Texas just lost to a really good team?
A little bit of both. I mean, if you look at the teams Texas has played, none of them are super great. Oklahoma, OU's awful. Michigan, we thought was going to be a good win at the time. Not it's good. Not anymore. Their best win is 5-1 Louisiana Monroe, which that's an incredible side story, but that's a group of five team. So they hadn't played elite competition yet, and their first shot at it, they don't score in the first half. And they figured out a little bit in the second, but the whole benching of Quinn Ewers for that one series, I just thought that opened a can of worms that Sark had managed really, really well for several years.
I agree.
And I feel like it's open now.
Let's go to cut number 14. What I want to know is, are you, Carter, and Corey in particular, reveling in seeing this head coach struggle?
Pressure! Moss, the throw, it's picked off. Maryland's got it heading the other way. That's the big change of pace they needed. Scrubs all the way inside the 20.
The USC Trojans have now lost three in a row and four of their last five to start the Big Ten. They have had a fourth quarter lead in every game this season, yet they are 3-4.
All right, man. We discussed this yesterday, Bob Stoops wishing he'd never left the program.
Mm-hmm.
I still have questions about that, by the way. Long story, but when he turned it over to Lincoln Riley, it was nice to see what they were doing. Then Lincoln Riley leaves like a coward in the middle of the night. And I was like, why would anybody ever want to play for a dude that does something like that? Like, that doesn't teach me how to be a better man.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, I am.
You are reveling in this.
Yeah, I just put all the relish on this hot dog right now. Right.
I saw this week that he might have tanked two blue bloods for the next 10 years because, you know, ever since he left Oklahoma and even before he left OU, the signs were there that things were going on a downward trend. And we've obviously seen what they've turned into this year. But then, yeah, with USC, it was, oh, brighter pastures. You know, there's no way he's going to recruit better. He's going to do all this, all that. Since he started out 11-1 in his first year with Caleb Williams, that program is 11-11. And the same mistakes week in and week out keep popping up. Because like you mentioned, those fourth quarter leads or second half leads, they keep doing things. They don't play smart football. Just the decision making allows a lesser team like a Minnesota or a Maryland, who Maryland is awful post-September. They should not win games like this. And yet USC managed to let them do that.
All right, they're mad. USC's mad. They fire him at the end of the year. Oklahoma stinks. Would, if he wanted to come back to Oklahoma, wouldn't Oklahoma just say, come on back, Jack?
Well, we need an offensive coordinator now. Since you just fired
not even as a head coach?
Well, he's not coming back.
Then no.
You're done with him.
See you later, buddy.
Even though he might lead you back to 10 wins?
I'd take Stoops back a thousand times right now.
Why would I believe Lincoln Riley would do that when I saw what he's done at USC for 3 years?
Facts.
He's better recruiting Oklahoma kids.
Now, Nebraska got absolutely smashed by Indiana. Indiana 7-0.
Hey, man, y'all's faces changed. You're going on, but their faces changed when I brought.
They're having none of that Lincoln Riley. Indiana, as we all predicted, along with Army, are the only two teams that haven't trailed thus far this year.
That's impressive.
I'm not saying that this is the best game, but are you excited that for the first time ever for football, College game day is going to be going to Bloomington, Indiana.
What's there?
On a weekend. The Indiana
football
team.
No, I get it, but
team?
Is there anything cool there?
Nothing's blooming in Indiana right now because it's winter. It's getting close to winter.
Did you start that statement and not know what the finish was going to be?
A little bit.
I did that in my head and I just let Mike say it out loud.
It is 77 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
There's a ton of blooming, actually.
It's a beautiful time to be in Indiana.
Yeah.
How it looks like it's freezing bees, man, up there in Cleveland for baseball time. What's going on? Indiana's close to Cleveland.
They're undefeated. The vibes are good.
If you want to answer those two questions, what's up with Indiana freezing and stuff? And do you like that they're making this decision, even though this is clearly not the best game of the week?
Sure. I'm a fan of whenever game day goes somewhere new. Like a couple weeks ago, they went to Cal for the first time. And programs like Cal and Indiana, they don't not have fans. Just because their football teams might be poor doesn't mean that the diehard fans don't exist. So when they get an opportunity like this, like we saw with Cal, that's a West Coast, you know, that's a got people are riding on the BART to Cal at, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning to get there. So they're early front row for it. I expect Indiana to be exactly the same because Cal was had some excitement at that point. Indiana's undefeated. Indiana has never won 10 games in that program's history. They're only tough games left are really Ohio State. I know they play Michigan. You could say that's a toss-up because it's a lesser program versus a blue blood, but on paper, Indiana should smack Michigan. And so they might, and not even on 10 or 11 wins, that's college football playoff talk right there.
The last thing I've got for you, because I don't know the answer, this is the biggest Navy-Notre Dame game since when?
Roger Staubach.
You might be right about that.
Honestly, yeah. The stat was Army and Navy are ranked at the same time for the first time since 1960.
Yes.
And that would be right around that time. And I'm sure Notre Dame was good around then, too. Otherwise, I would have said, World War II.
This is Navy's best start since 1979. And they're ranked 24, undefeated. Notre Dame is ranked 12. Are you excited about that game?
You know what? I love a good rock fight, and I feel like that's what that's going to turn into. Navy can definitely pass the ball more than previous Navy teams could. And Notre Dame has looked good since that awful, awful home loss to Northern Illinois. So I would still expect them to win. But yeah, Navy's going to put up much more of a fight. We saw this game in Ireland last year.
That's
and it was
true.
Notre Dame just ran all over Navy. So it's just a fun flip after 1 year after that game.
Thank you very much, Carter. It is a pleasure to have you back.
Happy to be back.
Kevin, in 1893, the final score to that game was 6-4.
Well,
what?
That was a good one.
I think A&M won the national championship that year.
I think touchdowns were worth 2 points back then.
And the Mason Reeves, I believe. Joseph Mason Reeves was the first player to ever use a leather football helmet in that game.
Huh.
So there you go.
Interesting.
Some notes.
There are some notes I was not prepared for.
Cut a football in half and put it on his head?
Probably.
I have a helmet.
Like that picture of Kellen Moore with...
How is this guy passing class?
We're the KNC masterpiece. Oh, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
And the Mavs have a chance to go in front. Pass went behind Holmes, but Hardy kept it in play. Going to have to craft some magic at the end of the shot clock, and he does precisely that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Having a hearty party.
Hey, I like it. I like it. Our opinions off air were just misrepresented. Jaden Hardy, 3 years, $18 million. I'm good with that. How do you guys feel about that extension?
I mean, it's great that the guy gets a big payday and the Mavs get a young player with a lot of upside, 3 years of control at $6 million a year. I think it's team friendly, but also the player has to feel outstanding about the windfall he's just received and the chance to earn so much more. You know, I think True. Ideally by the time he's done with that contract, he's too good to keep on the team.
My son asked this question to me last night. He said, does this guarantee Hardy's in the rotation? And I thought that was a good question from a teenager. Like this contract.
Did you tell him you had him traded yesterday?
I think that he still
threw him
is.
Out there as a tradable piece yesterday.
I still think he's trade bait.
That's what I'm saying. I think he maintained that status. Yeah, I think he's more of a tradable piece than he is probably a rotational piece for you, right?
Yeah, I guess it'll be interesting when it comes down to you have your two superstars at that position, the guard position. So there's limited minutes at guard sure. on this team. You have Hardy, you have Grimes, you have Dinwiddie, you have other guys that might fit into that category. Like, I think Najee Marshall's more of a forward, like a three, but, you know, he's 6'6", and certain situations, we hear that he's really good at guarding Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at times. So that would maybe put him in a little bit of a guard combination type of deal. So it'll be interesting how Kidd, and I forgot to mention Exum. I know he's hurt to start the year, but that's another guy that can play 10 to 20 minutes off the bench.
Yeah, I think Hardy is involved a lot during the regular season. You know, as you're trying to develop him, I think the postseason will be real potentially a lot different if the coaching staff trusts him.
Now, NBA season starts tonight. Do you guys care at all? Because I know Mike is not feeling this moment about potentially the LeBron, Bronny big time celebration at in the second quarter of tonight's game.
Can't say that I overly care too much. I mean, it's one of those things where I can check Twitter later.
Yeah.
I can see the little clip of it. I'm not going to be making sure that I'm tuned in live to be watching this amazing moment of Bronny and LeBron. I do think it's cool, the Griffey connection here, like the father and son sports history, but no, it's not something where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be making sure I'm on the couch and watching this take place live.
It just reminded me that I needed to ask if Bronny was really an NBA player.
Okay.
Which I just did.
I mean, and he's not right now. Like, if you saw him play in college, he's not. I think he could get there, but right now, he's absolutely not.
I'm excited to see just the general choreography of it all, you know, and just like
it's all spontaneous.
It's all,
what do you mean?
I think Windhorse is like, just, you know, keep your eye at the start of the second quarter. They, you know, like, they're gonna have like a whole thing
pre-done.
Like, what song are they gonna play? I guarantee you they've picked their song, like all of their different exchanges, their handshakes, their hugs, their crowd waves. I'm looking forward to just seeing how
I wish he was closer to an NBA player. Like, there's 1,000 guys not in the NBA today that are better than him. And he's only 19, 20. Like, we don't know what his development would have been like, but LeBron was like, I don't care. I have this thing set up for you. Where if you're too young, Ken Griffey Jr., obviously you know who he is, but Ken Griffey Jr. was one of the greatest 16, 17 years old in the history of like watching high school baseball in the Cincinnati area. Mm-hmm. And so it's a totally different thing than Ken Griffey Jr. playing with his dad, who was a very good player for a very long time. Then this just is so manufactured. I can't get behind it. It's cool. If it would have been, if Bronny would have really been good enough to play today in the NBA, super cool, but it's just so made up. It just doesn't feel right.
I asked this guy, I says, Bronny an NBA player? He said, not yet. And I said, do you have a chance? He says, minimal.
Minimal chance. Minimal
only 6'1", too, which makes it very difficult in today's NBA to be 6'1" and to be in the league.
Do you guys have, since the season starts tonight, I know the Mavs don't go until Thursday, and we got the chance to talk to Najee Marshall. You got a finals prediction? Because I think I'm going chalk rematch.
Give I think Mavs running it back, too.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think this time Mavs are winning it in 7.
I think the popular thing with the national experts is to do the Thunder. I don't see it. You know, I respect Hartenstein and Caruso and Jalen Williams, but I think the Mavs put him in checkmate last year, you know, and that was an awful compelling display. So I'm gonna go with the Mavs over the Thunder, over the Nuggets. I think Luka is better than Jokic at this point, and I think the Mavs are going to own the West for a while.
To your point, 5 of the 7 people from Yahoo picked the Thunder to win the West. Yeah. One picked Minnesota, one picked the Mavs.
Yeah, you know, and it's a fun pick because it's young and it's up and coming, and you're expecting this next big leap from them. But I don't know that Chet Holmgren gets there, you know, as an actual star. And I think, you know, Jalen Williams, nice complimentary star player, but it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's a scorer. So you watch them play, and it's a lot of athleticism and brilliant individual one-on-one stuff. And if you're going to do that, that's great. You just need more dominant players than Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren attacking, is what I would say.
Do you want to fight Dawson over his Luka is better than Jokic thing? Because you looked very upset now.
And I mean, maybe that'll turn out to be the case.
Yeah, I think Jokic was proven defensible, you know, and the Mavs have the answer. The Timberwolves had the answer with two giants that could stay in there, you know. Luka, you can't defend, because if you take away his inside, he will go outside. If you take away him, he will find the wide open guy. And Jokic might be a better passer because of his height, but he can't dominate the perimeter like Luka can. So that's why I do that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets are really, you don't even really fear them all that much.
I think that team is in trouble.
Because of the way their roster, and it's like, man, this would, you're supposed to be going all in around what might be the best player in the sport, worst case top two, I guess. And their roster has just been kind of falling apart, losing parts over the last couple of years since winning the title. So if I'm Jokic, now I don't know how much he actually cares because his personality, but
that's
I'm so
question.
Annoyed with the way they've
yeah.
not built around me.
Now, Brad, I said, I don't know how much you've been following this or how much.
By the way, I got the Knicks in the East.
Okay. All right.
I got Minnesota in the Knicks.
Ooh, spicy. I like it. I like it. Do you guys think that Everson Walls and Harvey Martin should be Hall of Famers? Because we got another cut down.
I'd love for Harvey Martin to be in the Ring of Honor. That would be my first love.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I think that this family, and for all the great things the Joneses have done, this team was really good before 1989.
Yeah.
And we need to go back and find the Harvey Martins and those guys that were a big part of you. You know, they like to, when they give you the tour over there at the Star, they tell you about 20 consecutive winning seasons, which is an NFL record. Harvey Martin was a big part of that.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys were part of that. It's not something that happened post-1989. It was pre-1989. They like to tell you that part of history. Please acknowledge those guys that were part of that history before you bought this team.
Everson Walls and Harvey Martin both advance to the next
group. It's a good thing.
And yeah.
If you have a guy like Rick Goslin on the
yeah.
call, Shereen Williams, Buddy yeah. Clark Judge is another good one that votes. Hopefully that'll get pushed through.
I don't know, I've just lost a lot of hope with seeing how long it took for Drew Pearson and the fact that Darren Woodson's still not in it.
And that's tough to argue.
And we've had, you know, Mother Football on the show plenty. She's amazing. Rick Goslin grew up loving him. I mean, he was the draft gospel with his mock draft. Yeah. He would hit it more than anybody. And they're great champions to have for these players. But for whatever reason, the other voters, I don't know what's going on there in Canton, but they're not doing what they should be doing, and that's putting in some legendary players like this that I don't think you can write the history of football without them.
I'm with you on that. What do you find fellas got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking, Hagee. Hope you guys have a great afternoon. We'll be chatting with Mark Schlereth at 4:40.
All right. I like it. I like it. I like it. Roll home.
And the guy that crapped on Wolchuk's couch at 6:20.
Jared. Can't wait.
Yeah. Is that going to be most of the questions or probably some
Eric's probably going to just handle that one. I know he's very nervous. I'm equally as nervous, but I think the couch is about to be cleaned here in an hour. So
okay.
Hopefully it's pristine when I get back to the house.
It's fine because it was crapped on like only 2 days ago.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. I love the optimism. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
I can't do that with other people's meat.